affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
And a half minutes after the hour, the Tuesday night edition of Head On begins. I am Bob Kincaid. And it's a lovely little night for the end of August here in the hills of West Virginia. Thank God there's no climate change going on. You know, as soon as I complain about it, I'll be up to my neck in snow anyway, so I may as well shut up. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. A lot of fun along the way. We're looking to talk to a couple of very interesting individuals later in the program. Hopefully we'll be hearing from Steve Nicholas. Steve is going to be running for the House of Delegates in West Virginia over in the Ripley area. And I'd like for you to hear a little bit about what he has to say. It's nice to hear progressives who and you know, liberals who are proud to be that way and see the fact that conservatism has pretty well put us in the toilet, and somebody's got to clean up the mess. And I think Steve's got a lot of good ideas for doing that, so we'll be hearing from him later in the show. And also, there's a bit of a stink brewing because of some generally hateful nastiness, like you'd be surprised, from Adam's apple, Annie Coulter. You know, that woman that has catcher's mitts for hands. She gave a speech to the Alachua County, Florida Republicans, in which she declared that the First Amendment should basically be null and void for Democrats. And when people and the person in particular that I'm about to mention to you tried to find out just what was behind all of that, it's political satire, you know. It's political satire. But, yeah, so, this individual, her name is Lydia Cornell. You may recall her acting career. She's had quite a career. A very nice human being. Wrote a very friendly letter to Anne asking her to clarify her comments on wanting to do away with the First Amendment, you know, where Democrats are concerned. Well, in response, Anne Coulter posted her personal information on her website. Jesus. There is no end to the sleaze that the right wing will engage in when it's found out once and well and truly that they don't have any ideas for making America better, no ideas for making America something more than the tawdry mess that it is right now. Thank you, George. They just resort to hateful conduct such as what Ms. Coulter engaged in against Ms. Cornell. So we'll be talking, hopefully, in the third hour to Lydia Cornell. I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation. As I said, she's a fascinating individual, far more than just an actress, and much more than the sum of her parts. See, that was a pun. That's an acting pun. Sum of her parts. Roles, you know, get it? Roles. Okay. I don't have to explain the jokes to you guys. You're Democrats. You're progressives. You're liberals. You are intelligent people. You don't need your talking points force-fed. My friends, I have a Palladio system. No, you don't need that. But we do need to do a little backup work from last night because, you know, the initial story, you remember very well. The initial story from yesterday was the guilty plea to bribery by Randy Duke Cunningham. You remember his heartfelt, tearful response.
I can't undo what I've done, but I can atone. And now, I'm almost 65 years old. And I enter the twilight of my life.
Oh, I tell you, I got a couple of emails. The hankies were flying fast and furious. They had to collect the tears in buckets, just out there crying with Randy Duke Cunningham.
Morning, Miss Cunningham.
Well, morning, Scout. How are you today, darling? Just in case you were wondering what sort of weird, hateful, war-supporting, right-wing Republican freak Randy Duke Cunningham was...
What kind of man are you?
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Mr. Yule. I tell you what, we're not going to be able to stand ourselves once we get all this technical stuff worked out. No, in case you were wondering just what kind of guy Randy Duke Top Gun Cunningham was, you know, he who took $2.5 million in bribes from defense contractors to help, build up the spy apparatus. You know, an apparatus, and for all we know, well, I mean, he had to have known about this. I've got a story in the stack today. The Pentagon, you know, because they're, you know, just because there's the cotton-picking board, the Pentagon is expanding its domestic surveillance activity. That's domestic surveillance activity. What the hell does the Pentagon have any business spying on you and me for? But... counterterrorism and human intelligence was the chairmanship that Randy Duke Cunningham held when he was taking bribes. $2.5 million, Rolls Royces, antique rugs, antique furniture, graduation parties for his daughter, all of that. But, you know, what else did he do with his legislative time? After all, he'd been in the House for something on the order of 16 years. Well, among other things... He was a proud proponent of a constitutional amendment to ban the burning of the flag. Yeah, he's one of those. In Cunningham world, flag burning, not okay. Flag defecating on, however, a-okay by taking bribes. You see how it works with these hypocritical... Sorry, syphilitic sons of sea cooks. You see how it works? If someone wants to make a political statement, if, for instance, someone's life has been wasted in a war that is based on lies, and they get so frustrated and they feel that they're so disenfranchised that they finally go out and set fire to an American flag, in Cunningham land, you can't do that. You can, however, fill up the bowl of your toilet with the American flag and pee all over it by taking bribes from defense contractors. You see how it works? Oh, Lord have mercy. What a despicable gang of human beings. It's like the Hindu myth. It's turtles all the way down. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Back to you, back to you. Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged onto energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 Twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Coming up on 18 minutes after the hour. The clock is the first thing I see. I know. You know what time it is. This is Head On. I should remind you of the phone numbers, 304-658-3333, or alternatively, we pay the freight at 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Great to have new listeners on board. Our pal Tracy just emailed in, said she's listening, so you know, thanks, appreciate it. It makes the conversation so much more enjoyable to know that there are enclaves and individuals, our pals over in the Tom Hartman chat room, the live link at Democratic Underground, our buddy Stephen in England, the folks who listen via the archives, some folks some folks aren't around their computer at 7 o'clock and they have to listen later. And in any way that you care to share your time, by golly, we do appreciate it. It means a lot. It's the one thing that we don't have. It's the single most finite and most precious thing we have is our time, isn't it? Yeah, I think about weird stuff like this because I was having trouble with the printer or something, and I was on the phone, and your wait time will be less than 13 minutes. You know, inconsiderate, that's 13 minutes I'll never get back that I'm just sitting there with the phone against my head.
But, you know, it's corporate America, so you know, what are you going to do? Let's go to the phones. Fritz is with us. Hey, Fritz, you're head on. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
Hey, Bob, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
And that wasn't much of a weight at all.
Well, you know, we try to keep the weight down. I mean, I'm sensitive to it.
I know you are. You know, Bob, I want to touch on the sort of opposite issue of these Republicans. This guy, Duke Cunningham, buys himself this French toilet for what? What was the cost of this thing? Some ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, it was insane.
In the hundreds of thousands or something?
Yeah.
You know, and what that illustrates, and I'm talking to your lurkers around your program, you know, these people that claim they belong to the GOP, the Greed Occasions Profit Party.
Exactly.
That's my acronym for it.
That's perfect.
You know, and it's that they have no contact with the common man, with the working man. And you know, these people need to stop voting against their self-interest.
It would be a nice, fresh start, wouldn't it? But,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's like the ditto heads who listen to Limbaugh. You know,
oh, yeah.
Fritz, is there anybody who listens to Limbaugh who thinks that he's like one of them?
I don't know how they possibly could, Bob.
I mean, you know, he lives in a multi-million-dollar, walled-off, sealed-off, gated compound in Florida and would no sooner be caught rubbing elbows with hoi polloi like you and me or conservative versions of you and me than he would drop dead.
Absolutely.
You know, and
there's
when
no way.
Yeah, you mentioned the bathroom fixtures, the toilet. It's no different than who was the guy that was tried for Tyco? And the records were there. He spent.
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, but he spent $15,000 on an umbrella stand and $10,000 on a shower curtain.
Yeah, it's just profligate. It's ridiculous.
It's obscene, and they know it's obscene, and they're proud of their obscenity in that regard.
That's the killer. They are proud of themselves. You know, you can just see them prepping themselves in front of their gilded bathroom fixtures.
You know, we've got an $800 umbrella stand in our house. It's called the bathtub. That's where the wet umbrellas go. For heaven's sake.
Or the goldfish tank too.
Yeah, sure.
And a dog bath.
I remember studying in anthropology in college, the potlatch cultures of the Northwest. I don't know if you've ever heard of them or
I've
not.
I've heard of them, yeah.
But a potlatch was this huge party that a tribal chief would throw, give away everything he had, and then what was left over, burn it to the ground at the end of the party just because he could.
Yeah,
it ultimately led to the downfall of those cultures. But is there any difference between a culture that burns everything it has and what we've got going on right now, where we spend our precious treasure on?
No, it's quite similar, and you know it is going to be our downfall, and that's why what I'd really like to say to those folks out there that vote against their self-interest is health care. How are you going to get it? And, you know, I come at this as a biologist who spent 10 years teaching at a college of pharmacy. So believe me when I tell you I know, and I'm talking to your lurkers.
Yeah.
Believe me when I tell you that I know about the pharmaceutical companies. You know, and they complain, they pee and they moan about, you know, paying for their research. And you know who does most of that basic research? It's academicians.
Exactly.
That's where that comes from. And they take that stuff and they use it and they spend most of their money on marketing, not on research. Believe me.
Oh, I think you're absolutely, well, we know you're absolutely correct. The production cost of an antidepressant, it's a story I read a couple of years ago, you know, maybe 35 cents a pill.
Yeah.
But the marketing cost of producing that pill is $7-$8 because of the money they spend on the networks.
That's it. It's all marketing, absolutely. And, you know, if you quote some statistics, maybe these folks will listen. Here's some facts. U.S. spends $6,000 per capita on health care. Canada spends about a third that much, $2,500 per capita. Life expectancy in our country has gone to now 20th in the world. We used to be first in around the late 40s, early 50s.
Right.
And infant mortality, we were also first at that time. We've gone to 12th in the world. How can you say that that is good health care?
Well, for heaven's sakes, literacy and infant mortality both. We are, and this just drives the lurkers crazy, we are behind Cuba.
That is a great statistic right there.
And, you know, they're the great failure. You know, they're the evil communist 90 miles from our shores, yeah. But they managed to teach their children to read and keep them alive until they can.
Keep them alive, yeah.
You know, so, and you know, Fritz, bringing it just a little bit closer to home, look at look at the troubles we're seeing out of General Motors and the layoffs that came down last week.
Right, but they're hiring in Canada.
They're hiring in Canada?
Yeah, that's the thing.
And Toyota chose Canada over the United States because, and these are some stunning numbers, around $1,500 of every car sold by GM goes to healthcare costs.
Right. And they're hiring in Canada because healthcare is given to all citizens.
Yeah,
and you know, I wish they would understand that there's this difference between single payer and socialized medicine. Single payer means, you know, the government pays physicians and you pay taxes, and instead of your taxes going to kill Iraqis, they're going to pay for national healthcare. God, what is wrong with that picture?
There's nothing wrong with it. It's not the picture that's wrong, Fritz, and that's one of the things that drives me nuts. I don't know how you reach through to them. There's a mindset. I'm so glad you brought this up. I wasn't going to touch on it.
I'm sorry to steer you in that direction.
No. It's okay.
I didn't. Drove me crazy.
I didn't know how I was going to get to this, and you just led me to it perfectly. You know, when the show goes off at night, I scan and I surf the web and I find things. You know, well, you know, folks would like to hear about it. And I found this one thing: a 66-year-old guy who considers him a prophet who declared that in his blog, and God, I can't even remember the web address now, but he declared in his blog that he had received prophetic communications from Almighty God that national health care is ungodly.
Ungodly.
That's the people we're up against, Fritz.
Yeah, you can't convince anyone like that.
You know, you can tell them that GM's paying $1,500 a car for health care, where Toyota in the United States is paying $215 per car in healthcare. In Japan, the cars that Toyota makes, $97 a car goes to healthcare.
Yeah, you know, you would think this whole layoff, this 30,000 person layoff from GM while they're hiring in Canada, that would really hit them between the eyes. You know, why are you putting Republicans back in office?
Well,
when, as long as we have a Republican majority and a Republican in the White House, we will never move in the right direction with healthcare. You know, and I read an article the other day, and I don't remember. I got it off truthout.org, and I don't remember who wrote it. I'm sorry. But it talked about, well, you know, Americans will never acquiesce to moving in the direction of single-payer health care. But there are lots of other proposals, you know, that are sort of compromises. And I'm saying to myself, why? Why do we have to compromise? Because Americans are so filled with hubris that we're the best because we don't have nationalized health care. What is it about that?
Some of it's sneeches, Fritz.
Some of it's what, Bob?
Sneeches, if you remember your Dr. Seuss at all.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the star-bellied sneeches. You know, we're happy to be the ones without the stars right now. But the other side of it is, if you think about corporate structure, and if you think about the duties of corporate directors and CEOs, their highest duty is to their shareholders.
That's correct.
If that is the case, why hasn't corporate America, and I'm no fan, but why haven't they awakened to the fact that they will be better off for their shareholders, for their employees, for their bottom line, and for their own golden parachutes if corporate America will militate for single-payer health care?
Right. They don't have to pay health care because it'll allow them to hire people instead of laying them off, as in GM and Canada and Toyota. Yeah, that's so logical, Bob, but, you know, the logic just doesn't sink in. The frustration is enormous on this topic for me,
especially
having watched the pharmaceutical companies up close and personal.
And
they are dirty.
Oh, sure they are. I mean, I've got friends who got out of the pharmaceutical sales business, but, you know, because they couldn't stand participating in a racket that's right up there with being in the mob.
Oh, yeah, they must have been so dirty. They must have had to take showers for the next 10 years once they got out.
Without a doubt. And part of the, you know, I think a lot of this lays at the feet of the insurance industry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the pharmaceuticals are filthy. The HCAs of America are just mired in filth. But the people who are driving this hateful little bus are the insurance executives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to make
money. $900 million pensions.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, maybe that's where we start. But if you start criticizing an insurance company, the next thing you know, you get a full-page ad in your local paper from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce calling whatever beautiful place you happen to live in a hellhole, like they did to West Virginia last year.
Is that what they did?
Oh, yeah. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce just completely sleazed itself, just trolloped itself out for big insurance in an effort to control our courts here. You know,
and what was the kickback? What were they getting even on?
Well, they weren't getting even. They were getting ahead.
I see.
They don't want to get even. They managed a couple of years ago to take away butchered people's rights in this state when doctors chop them up by accident.
Right.
And then this last time through, the big gig was taking away West Virginians' rights to sue their insurance company when their insurance company wouldn't deal with them in good faith. So they took that away from us.
That's terrific. That really helps a lot.
Thanks, and good luck with all of that, and don't do us any more favors.
Yeah.
But that's where they are. And then I had the story last night where now the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has come out and said that people who drive hybrid automobiles should be taxed.
Oh, my God. I heard that one driving back from Denver, and I just wanted to explode out of my skull, as you have said so many times. I said, you got to be kidding me. You're going to be taxed for being a responsible citizen of the planet? Give me a break.
But
how filthy is that?
Yeah, in their little world, Fritz, it all makes sense.
Of course it doesn't.
You know, and you and me could sit down and start dropping acid right now and trip our silly little brains out for the next 48 hours, and we still wouldn't be where they go.
Absolutely.
To have it make sense.
Absolutely not, Bob.
Well, Fritz, always good to talk to you. I hope things are well out in New Mexico.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's hit the bottom of the hour break. Great conversation. Dadgum, you guys make this fun. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
That's the place where I traced my bloodline, and it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, you'll never leave Harlan alive. Oh, my grandfather's dead across the Cumberland Mountains.
Welcome back. 25 minutes before the hour. This is Head On, a little dust up that we engage in Monday through Friday evenings. Glad to have you along. Glad to have you on board. I have a feeling this evening's going to have kind of a scattershot flavor about it, just because there are so many things that are just, you know, touch it and go, touch it and go. Now, you know, because we've talked about it last week, among other things, you know about Falafel Boy Bill O'Reilly's War on the War on the War on the War on Christmas. I'm not sure which side he's on anymore. But the genius is out there making statements. Well, this was last night. Sorry, I don't have the audio. We're a small operation. The talking points memo of his show. And again, this is because Congress isn't in session and he's really got nothing better to talk about between now and New Year's. So raising Cain against people who say happy holidays is the best he can do. Oh, my God. Can you imagine how pathetic would you have to be to try to turn that into an issue? But the thing is, there are people out there, these self-same people who believe that everybody being able to go to the doctor when they're sick, that's communism. You know, that same crowd buys into this war. Why won't they say Merry Christmas, Ethel? Dear God! So, last night, you get this. Because O'Reilly's mad that people say, again, happy holidays instead of, you know, Merry Christmas and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Praise Falwell. Now, this was the quote from last night. Every company in America should be on its knees thanking Jesus for being born. Without Christmas, most American businesses would be far less profitable, more than enough reason for businesses to be screaming Merry Christmas. Now, people of a certain generation, mine, and those slightly older than myself, well remember Charlie Brown's Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. That and the Grinch are the seminal, in my humble opinion, Christmas special cartoons. And back in the days before cable ruled the world, you know, they came on once a year. And, you know, if you're 7, 8, 9 years old, the teacher would tell you, now, Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown's going to be on tonight, okay? And you sit down there and you watch. And, oh, my God, I remember the first Christmas that I ever spent away from home. I was at CNN. And I had to, there was no way to get back to my family. And I watched Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. And when Linus gets to that point where he says, "Lights, please," and recites the passage from St. Luke, my God, the tears welled up in my eyes, rolled down my face. I was a bawling idiot. Yeah, well, most of the time he's just an idiot and he ain't balding. Well, but it has force. And what I'm, you know, O'Reilly, every company in America should be on its knees thanking Jesus for being born because their profits wouldn't be nearly as high without him. Can anybody form a mental picture of this dude in a dusty robe, wearing sandals, walking around the Sea of Galilee, talking to people about, hey, you know, don't be so mean to each other. What do you say? Ow! Get the nail out of my hand. Can you imagine him sitting there, you know, I'm just going to try to get people to change their hearts and not be quite so rotten to each other. If Yeshua had for 1 minute thought that he was going to be the prophet center for an American capitalist movement, you think he would have walked out, you know, because he was walking on it, walked out on top of the Sea of Galilee, right smack into the middle to the deepest part and said, enough, and just right through the water and had done with it? Is there anybody who thinks that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, would have approved of Bill O'Reilly's version of Christmas as humongous orgy of excess? And that's what it brings me back to, the Charlie Brown thing. See, these things do. I get there. You just have to wait. the scene where Charlie Brown comes back and sees that Snoopy has won first place for his over-the-top, egregious rendition of holiday lighting on his doghouse, and just mutters the simple and yet so evocative, "Good grief." That O'Reilly's Christmas is one great big good grief. O'Reilly's... I mean, what is Christmas at the O'Reilly house like? You know, what well, O'Reilly has problems. Because, I'm not talking about the falafel. O'Reilly has problems, though, because... Well, you know, he's published his enemies list on his website. He's only got three enemies up, and damn it, I'm not there. I'm not working hard enough. Until I make O'Reilly's enemies list, it's the cover of the Rolling Stone for us progressive talkers being an enemy of O'Reilly. But he's got his enemies list up, and it's sadly lacking not just me, not just my buddy Brad Friedman at bradblog.com, who brought this to my attention. No, he's got another enemy. And, you can hear it right here.
So thank you all very much. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays?
Real start of the season, the Monday after Thanksgiving. So I want to wish everybody happy holidays.
Ooh, that's twice, just like St. Peter. You know who that was, don't you? You do know who that was. That was our glorious First Lady. Pickles. Laura Bush. She who dasn't get behind the wheel of an automobile for fear of killing someone like she did before. And she's saying...
Thank you all very much. Happy holidays.
Oh!
I know this is the real start.
Oh, it was just like another nail through Jesus' hand when she said happy holidays.
Everybody happy holidays.
Oh!
See you later this week with the White House Center.
Yeah, that was yesterday as they were delivering the Christmas tree to the White House. And she said happy holidays. Laura Bush denied Christ. She took the Christ out of Christmas. Why can't she say Merry Christmas, and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Why can't she say that? Does she hate Christmas? Here's the overarching question, and I think it's one that maybe only Bill O'Reilly can answer. Does Laura Bush hate Christ? It's only fair to ask.
Do you think he realizes that Christ was not born in December?
Well, if he wasn't, he should have, and businesses should be falling on their knees thanking Jesus for being born whenever he was born, because you get the idea. He doesn't realize that Christmas trees have nothing to do with Christmas. He doesn't understand that caroling predates the... No, he doesn't get any of it. But why does Laura Bush have to deny Christ with her heathen remarks of happy holidays? The next thing you know, she'll be out there wishing people a happy Eid al-Fitr. Or one of them joyous Chinookas. And we will finally know once and for all that she hates Jesus. It's just sad. This is Head On.
Come out, come out, no use in hiding.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Simon, but O'Reilly, just in case you're wondering, on his enemies list so far, and do me a favor, would you? Send O'Reilly a few emails and tell him I want on his enemies list too. I feel lost. If I'm not the enemy of O'Reilly, he has no enemies. Falafel boy. Here are the members of O'Reilly's enemies list. The New York Daily News, the St. Petersburg Times, and MSNBC. Now, you know why MSNBC is on the list. Because Keith Olbermann from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time virtually every night tries to find a way to stick another dagger through the black little petrified lump of rotten tissue that replaces whatever would otherwise pass for a heart in the chest of Bill O'Reilly. I think Olbermann has even made O'Reilly worst person in the world a couple of times. Yeah. So that explains MSNBC. The St. Petersburg Times, eh. But he did write, these are the worst offenders. New York Daily News, St. Petersburg Times, and MSNBC. In the months to come, we expect to add more names to this list. We recommend that you do not patronize these operations and that advertisers do the same. They are dishonest and not worth your time and money. Good for Bill. Because that Moran, that freeper Moran, doesn't realize what he's just done with that paragraph. There's a little something out there, and I admit it's arcana of the worst type. But there's a little something out there that you can get sued for called tortious interference with business relations. And Bill might want to be careful because that looks a whole lot like looks a whole lot like what he's engaging in. Okay, so I got to get in touch with Arianna Huffington. At Huffington Post website, she's been requesting names of those who'd like to be on O'Reilly's list. Now, doggone it, here we are back at the Sneetches again. Everybody's going to be on this list. But she says she will hand-deliver the list to Falafel Boy, her own self. So I guess I'm going to have to get in touch with Huffington Post and see if I can't be an enemy of Bill O'Reilly, too. I mean, would you rather be on his side? Can you imagine what you have to go, the mental gymnastics you have to go through to think like Falafel Boy thinks? You know, where you fall on your knees and thank Jesus for being born for Christmas, and at the same time, engage, you know, married man, mind you, engage in filthy pornographic overtures toward unmarried members of your staff, including telling them that you would like to work their naked bodies over with a falafel. That gets Agnes every time. She's in a paroxysm over here. Don't call right now. She probably couldn't even answer the phone. The tears are beginning to flow. What's the matter, honey? You don't like the falafel idea? I thought it was pretty creative.
How drunk do you have to be not to be able to say loofah?
I don't know. We've always just assumed that he was talking about the loofah. Yeah, maybe he's into falafel. You know, little fried, yummy, ground-up chickpea and onion and garlic and parsley bits of Middle Eastern goodness.
I can never eat it again without thinking of that man, and it just makes me so sick.
Well, see, it's the same conversation we had last night about, you know, seeing Patricia Heaton's ugly face on Everybody Loves Raymond, and she ruins it for me.
No, that's different.
Now, see again
different.
With the double standards.
No. She's not mean.
She is. She's like the Mel Gibson of actresses.
Oh, see, and I like Mel Gibson, too.
Oh, God.
So, that's Help. Just the difference between us.
Daffy Duck. Mother. So, no, you've got O'Reilly out there, and I, you know, we're just going to have to keep an eye on this war on Christmas. Because it's good sport. You know, I have the kids are almost old enough now, and I've been threatening to do this for years. And maybe Agnes will go along with me this year. I don't know. I've been thinking that at some point, at some Christmas, we should volunteer our time at you know, one of these operations that feeds people who, you know, are in dire straits on Christmas. I mean, that's kind of the meaning of it, isn't it? It's not the orgy of hateful people at Walmart snatching stuff out of your very hands to get a price break on some crap that was made in China by people who are making 25 cents a day chained to their tables. That really isn't the meaning of Christmas, is it? And yet, and again, my God. There are people who tune into that fool on Fox every night. I tell you, he's a level-headed son of a gun, that Bill O'Reilly. What do you... You know, and I guess these are like the last dozen people in America that are still driving around with their W, the President stickers on. I don't read lips, dear. You're going to have to help me.
We're going to have to get you some sign language skills. They actually buy his book for their children.
Unless this
is just something that they put out there. But I can't imagine in buying a book for one of my children from a guy that commits adultery, does bad things with falafel, and, you know, has an enemies list. It sounds like he's gotten to rush his OxyContin.
My God, if he can do that with falafel, wait till he gets to the Baba Ganoush. I don't even want to think about it. But, no, I'm sorry. I should quit prattling about O'Reilly. I'm just giving him more press. Backing way up to our buddy Randy Duke Cunningham. One other thing that I thought you might find interesting about old Randy Duke Cunningham. Hi, Scout. It turns out, you know, when this whole story began to break last year, who came out in Randy Duke Cunningham's defense? Well, why, that would be none other than, yeah, that's right, Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay came out in defense of Randy Duke Cunningham. Here it is, yeah. This is from The Hill, you know, the congressional newspaper, from June 15th. Not last year, a few months ago. But just straight off the text. House Majority Tom DeLay yesterday defended Representative Duke Cunningham after calls from congressional Democrats to investigate the Republican appropriator for selling his San Diego home to a defense contractor whose firm had received $65 million in federal funds in 2004. Now, Tom DeLay said, "Duke Cunningham is a hero. He is an honorable man of high integrity." So there we see, you know, there you have it. It's, you know, it's the Daffy Duck cartoon. You know, pronoun trouble. DeLay thinks that taking bribes is a show of high integrity. So therefore, ripping off, you know, his own ripoff of Indian tribes, well, you know, small potatoes. DeLay said that we're always concerned when a member of Congress violates the rules of the House. Just because it appears in an article doesn't mean a thing. However, when it does appear, when it appears in a plea agreement, it does mean something. And so, you know, the list just grows a little longer, a little longer, a little longer. You know, Randy Duke Cunningham. Bribery in the danger zone. No, sorry, I should quit. Randy Duke Cunningham, Tom DeLay, Shirley Moran Cameltoe, or Capito, taking money from the number two money getter from Tom DeLay in the entire Congress. Bob Nye. Somebody help me. Is it Nay or Nye? Anyway, it's, you know, flip a coin. But, you know, he's all filthed up. Denny Hastert is tied in with some of the Abramoff foolishness. Again, it's what they do. They're good at being corrupt. Why would you expect them to be clean? The question is, what do you do about it? And maybe we talk about that in the next hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Imperialist. He may not have a mill, but he has a lot of grist. Chinese convict labor will manufacture this. He is a new fashioned imperialist.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
the breaking of the dawn. Day is born again. Just another missing link in an endless chain. Filling up the empty space left by one.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, let's just keep the fun rolling. What do you say? Of course, you know the phone numbers. Maybe there's somebody out there who doesn't. 304-658-3333 and 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Head on. Like, you know, head on collision. Head on with the facts. A nightly confrontation with the facts. You know what we're about here. Of course you do. You know, I've made a little semi-featurette out of sharing with you some of the truly, truly sprayed roach crazy press offerings I get from these PR outfits that, you know, it's neat to be able to sort of peek into the into the workings of the right-wing megaphone. Subject, Un-Christmas, the UN's Dozen Commandments. Interview opportunity. Oh, yeah, let's see. This is just beautiful. The UN's Dozen Commandments, the United Nations Earth Charter celebrations are far more religious than Christmas. Yada, 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 yada.
Yes.
Oh, God, they're such a hoot.
Oh, how are you?
They just... It's a steady litany, and this time they've found a way to sort of conjoin Christmas and their hatred of the United Nations. Did you know that the UN has their own religious commandments for our children? New improved versions from the antiquated 10 Judeo-Christian commandments, actually. And not to be outdone by the Ark of the Covenant, the UN has their own version, the Ark of Hope, that was constructed to house the UN's sacred document. The Earth Charter, the UN Commandments. Thou shalt save the earth. Thou shalt respect all plants. Thou shalt respect all animals. God. Oh. Fritz referenced it. Sometimes my head feels like an overripe cassava melon, and it's just going to go... What's wrong with that? Thou shalt save the earth. Well, you know, until we're all Johnny Jump Jet and can fly off to Mars or Venus or wherever, we might be well advised not to completely destroy, not to, in our nest. But that's just me, and, you know, I'm the radical left-wing liberal. Thou shalt live in peace. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt live in peace, and they add in parens, with no food, it would be a miracle just to live. Yeah, that's right, the UN wants us all to stop growing food. Holy cow! Yeah, you feel like Harry Carey at a cousin. Holy cow! There it goes. 8, thou shalt call out for air, water, and sun, and earth for everyone. Huh? Yeah, what? Thou shalt keep the earth clean and save water. Well, yeah, we wouldn't want to be doing that. Yeah. You know, in dear Don Blankenship's world, we all drink coal sludge milkshakes and darn well like it. You must be able to say what you think and to meet with who you like, huh? So, yeah, that's that whole freedom of association thing that the UN Charter sort of borrowed from our First Amendment, but apparently now in Wingnut world, freedom of association somehow dirty because somebody besides Americans should be able to do it. Who are these people? How did they get these this way? Who raised, what sort of failed academic system produced them?
They're just drinking the drunk-making Oakley.
Oh, yeah, they are drinking the drunk-making Oakley. By the gallon. Oh, let's see, 12. Man must never make war again, nor make more arms. Well, that's just crazy talk. I, honest to God, you know, you peep into this little world and you come out just. What are their days filled with? I mean, there are enclaves of people who think that they're Americans who sit around, you know, this country would be real good if we could just get rid of the UN. All right, UN out there wanting people to have freedom to associate and talk and say what they want to do. If they had their way, they'd probably have free speech and they'd spend all their time not saying good things about George W. Oh. This is... The ACLU says that Christmas symbols should be banned from the public square and no mention of our traditional religious heritage should be included in the public... Really? Christmas trees. See, this is... I resent this. I really, well and truly, honest to Jesus, resent this. We got four kids. They love the Christmas season. I think it's a bit too much of an orgy of greed, and every year my lovely wife look at each other and say, next year, not so much. And next year comes, and the year that we're going to get off the greed train and the conspicuous consumption train at Christmas, that's next year. I mean, they've got, you know, the retail industry has the American consumer by the emotional gonads at Christmas. You know, Santa's everywhere. The kids are vibrating like struck tuning forks just generating a perpetual 440A. And you know, just to make sure you're getting the message, they'll slip in a Scrooge reference every so often. You know, if little Johnny doesn't get that Xbox 360, you realize that you're no better than Jacob Marley, and you're gonna drag around a chain of Xbox 360s in the next life for all eternity. Hear me. And so, but, yeah.
Why don't we just take the kids wassailing? You know, they used to fill up the punch bowls and with...
Do you know what goes into wassail?
That's why I said, let's take the kids. Everybody, take your kids wassailing. By the time you get them home, they're not going to care what's under the tree.
What are you saying?
I'm just kidding. But, I mean, it's no worse than what you're reading. That's awful.
Well, that's the whole point. We're sitting here, you know, my big thing is the Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
I know, I'm going to piss off the vegetarians. I don't mean to. I'm sorry. We do a standing rib of beef every Christmas.
I'm sorry. I'm going to Sedona for Christmas dinner. You know, hi guys.
But I'm into the Christmas dinner and try to make we have a really special day. All the little breakfast is little dill rye toast points with smoked salmon and sour cream and capers and thinly sliced onion. You know, you get the drill. And it's special and it's wonderful and it's fun all day long and we just want to have a nice Christmas and I can't turn on the television without and it's seeped over. It's seeped over from O'Reilly. It was a tease, I think, in Lou Dobbs this evening. It comes on at 6 here. And I'm having to listen. And are the PC people going too far? Why can't we call it a Christmas tree? What? Oh! Leave it alone. The commercials are that Christmas is not news. It shouldn't be a business opportunity. It should be a renewal of bonds and a renewal of loving kinship and friendship. Because it was all centered on the winter solstice, which is the death of. The death and rebirth, and you know, every day after the winter solstice, each day gets a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. There was a reason that was celebrated, because it is a time of renewal. It's the dead of winter, and yet everything's gonna come back just like it has every. And Christmas is news. I'm sorry, I should get off of this. I apologize, but it just annoys the hell out of me. It's not Bob's gonna, you know, go into a full screaming rant, frothing at the mouth, you know, full on, full blown, the just antagonized hell. No, it just annoys me. You know, I'd like to focus, as would my wife, as would most parents, would like to just focus on enjoy and making a decent Christmas and getting through this most joyous and stressful time of the year and just have fun. And I got to be lambasted with whether or not the right wing thinks it's Christmassy enough. Never mind putting the Christ back in Christmas. Maybe we're better off putting the pagans back in Christmas. This is Head On.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 Twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Take a look back from the caboose and follow the tracks of my life. The tangled about lying true. And I know it's just me, my point of view. But those are the important two. Yeah, I don't need to try. check with a crowd.
Well, I just want to start singing, but I won't.
Be nice to be proud.
Coming up on 21 minutes after the hour, I'm Bob. This is Head On. The phone number is, of course, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-4432366, and 304-658-3333. Easy, 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 easy. Now, you know, we've had our fun, the war on Christmas, all that. Let's get back to reality. We all know that I am a jealous guardian of the First Amendment. It's the First Amendment that allows me to say things like booger and not be carried away, you know, by the authorities for it. So when I see stories where the First Amendment, you know, much as Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham got a flag and a constitution and took a pee on it, taking all those bribes, Randy Duke Cunningham.
Morning, Miss Cunningham.
Morning, Scout. Just as that is offensive to me, so too is it equally offensive when we teach our children that those freedoms that we keep talking about, they're dying for freedom in Iraq. And then back here at home, we just spit on it. I'm speaking specifically about a little something going down in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Home of the atomic bomb. Home of the atomic, it's the atomic city, for God's sakes. Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Oak Ridge High School. They've got a newspaper there called the Oak Ridge High School Oak Leaf. Charming. And, well, this latest edition of the Oak Leaf, students were not permitted to read. The administration came through and confiscated every copy of The Run and took it away, censored it. It is what it is. It is censorship. It doesn't matter if you're doing it to high school students. It's still censorship. Now, why did they censor it? Two articles appeared in the Oak Leaf this last time through. Just two. One of them was an article on body art. You know, tattooing. And it showed an anonymous photo of a tattoo that a student let them photograph, and the student said that they hadn't told their parents they went and got the tattoo yet. Okay? Well, the school administration didn't like that. And then, possibly more to the point, there was an article in the Oak Leaf about... see, we're still working on the sound effects. I need timpani at this point. You know, the boom, 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 boom. About birth control. For God's sakes, about birth control. They pulled the paper because this birth control article listed, among other things, success rates for various forms of birth control. The pill versus condoms versus the sponge. Is the sponge back? I always remember Seinfeld and the whole sponge-worthy thing. Pills, condoms, patches, that kind of thing. And, you know, the rates of success. And then it went on to mention that contraceptives were, in fact, available from local physicians and the local health department. I'm struggling right now. I am struggling to keep my cool. This is the kind of thing that makes me absolutely just fly apart at the seams. Children being denied information by their school, information that could literally save their lives. It's like something I ran across a few months back here in West Virginia. I forget exactly how it worked, but parents have the right in this state to opt out, to opt their children out of discussions about birth control in school. parents in this state have the right to opt their children out of discussions that might save their lives. And that is how far the religion industry has gone in controlling the well-being of our nation. The religion industry is literally putting our nation's children at risk. Because if you think that this wasn't pulled in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, the buckle of the freaking Bible Belt, if you think this wasn't pulled in Oak Ridge, Tennessee because of the response of some members of the religion industry, well, you probably, well, forget it. But the one thing that pushed the school administrators over in this particular story, the one thing that really, really put them around the bend, was there was a reference in the story to the fact that teenagers, you know, teenagers. Remember being a teenager? I do. Oh, God, I do. There was a reference in there that teenagers could access birth control without their parents' permission. And so it got that entire copy, that entire edition of the newspaper, censored. Because we all know that teenagers don't have sex. And we all know that teenagers wouldn't need to know anything. No, this is the weirdos. It's abstinence only. Just say no to the love monkey. Apparently in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Mr. Haney is in charge of the curriculum. No, really, the principal who did the dirty censorious job is one Becky Irvin. Just in case you might like to let old Beck know how you feel about her hateful little stunt, you can reach her at B. Irvin, that's Bervin, B-E-R-V-I-N, at ortn.edu. If you'd like to tell Becky in person, you can give her a call at 865-425-9601. Then there's Superintendent Thomas Bailey. Ed, duh. You can reach him at tbailey, T-B-A-I-L-E-Y, at ortn.edu. And you can reach him by phone at 865-425-9001. He's got a fax machine. They're real high tech there in the central office in Oak Ridge. You can reach him via fax at 865-425-9070. They're going to republish the paper without the offending articles.
I wonder if they're Right to Lifers.
Hell yes!
Well, the reason I ask this is
we understand. When you say the Right to Lifers, you mean the morally bankrupt, ethically dead Right to Life movement.
The ones who want to control the wombs.
Yes. Yes, okay. They're that.
So, it's just you leave your children ignorant, you don't tell them anything, and
they bring home the new grandbaby for you to raise, have a nice time, hasn't formula gone up since you were raising your own?
No, isn't that like, you know, lay there quietly, dear, and think of England?
Well, there's a certain element of that.
It's not good. I mean,
well, you know, just say no to the back seat.
The kids had a good idea. They put something that was informative that they should know, especially with the STDs.
It matters.
And
the first time one of these children has sex, they can get a disease, they can get HIV, and they can die from it. But these fundy mommies and these fundy daddies would rather see their children lying cold, molding in a damn grave than they would tell them about them nasty rubbers. I despise them. They do. They make me just want to yank my hair out by the roots. You understand, it does the same thing to you. There is no excuse for not telling children how not to die from having sex. Except for the fact that these people, and these are the same scumbags who followed James Dobson and Falwell and Robertson. And they take, what in the hell is an education system doing taking information away from children? It's all of it. Just, it's Alice through the looking glass. Honest to God, it is. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
last night, off in the distance, swore I heard train whistle blow. Something inside made me listen and want it to be so. By now, I should be past it. Common sense says I should know. It was just distant memory, and some things I can't let go.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Corruption and politics go together in America, a long-standing tradition dating back to when the country was founded. So it's rare when a presidential administration becomes so corrupt that it warrants the kind of attention the Bush administration is currently getting. With the numerous bribery and corruption charges from Jack Abramoff all the way up to Scooter Libby, the Bush administration is being compared to the poster child of American political corruption, New York's Tammany Hall. But a closer look shows that this is unfair to Tammany Hall. As corrupt as they were, and they were, they remained in power in great part because they actually helped a lot of people out, finding them work, helping them with rent or food, etc. In contrast, what has the Bush administration ever done to help out working people? Nothing I can think of. Instead, their strategy is to distract the public with straw men, blacks, gays, liberals, while picking their pockets. And as electronic voting becomes more commonplace, they can continue to work towards a day when they achieve total political power while presenting the appearance of a democratic republic. Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin once said that it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. And it's nice to know that the Republican Party is in total agreement. Of course, compared to old Joe, the Republicans are amateurs. After all, he actively murdered his political opponents and was responsible for the deaths of millions of his own people. The fact that I'm here talking to you now is proof that we're still not as bad off as we think we are, at least not yet. And I, for one, would rather not wait until it gets that bad. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Head on.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin. No falafel, no Oxycontin, just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day, head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night, headonradio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Welcome back. Let's go straight to the phones. What do you say? Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
The most violent element in society is ignorance. Emma Goldman.
Ain't it the truth?
Ain't it the truth?
And it's not. We know that to be true. So what does that say about the people who actively court ignorance?
Well, you know, they got to be in some business. They make money off ignorance.
Sure they do.
The longer they keep us stupid, the longer they, you know, where they want us, which is under their thumb. Well, you know, they're gonna. The more people that don't get abortions and raise troubled children, they make money off that. If you have a nice, healthy child and they grow up to be a consumer, they make money off that. They're going to make their money either way. But maybe for some strange, bizarre, and obscene reason, they like to toy with it a bit.
Well, is it okay if we get just a little bit hacked off, Chris, at the fact that they're doing it inside the school system? That we're taking a positive, that these people in these school systems are taking a positively medieval approach?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't want to teach them facts. You know, the next thing you know, they'll be teaching people that they'll be teaching the kids that the Earth is the center of the universe. Wait, there's your intelligent design.
Oh, wait, you know, and if you disagree with it, we got a class for you.
Yeah, re-education.
Yeah.
You know, I respect these kids that take umbrage at being censored at this high school, Chris, in large part because the reason they wrote the article was it was a response to the so-called sex education that they were already getting. They weren't getting accurate birth control information in their classes. It's a public school, and you know, the Dear Leader administration has forbidden that children even be told that sex is.
Well, what we're going to find out is 2 years from now, Bob Woodward's going to be on CNN. And he's going to say, I did a lot of research, and I got a tattoo, and I had to do it. You know, did you get this from the Guerrilla Women Tennessee Blogspot?
Yeah, I did.
I found that. Did you read, I'm sure you read, the Tinker vs. Des Moines School District?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you mean the comment from Abe Fortas?
No, the Tinker vs. Des Moines School District 393 U.S. 503.
Right, 1969, where Fortas said, schools may not be enclaves of totalitarianism. Students and teachers do not shed their constitutional rights to freedom of expression at the schoolhouse gates.
Yeah. And then underneath that is First Amendment. Passed by Congress in 1789, ratified in 1791. It took them just 3 years to go, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well,
and
there were those during the constitutional debate who didn't believe that it was necessary because they didn't think that a republic based upon principles of freedom and that they would ever try to abridge freedom of speech.
Absolutely. Yeah,
boy, were they wrong.
Well, you know, we're supposed to be advancing over the years. We're supposed to get smarter.
But these kids are getting smarter, Chris, because among other things, you remember during the
we're talking about the adults in control, though.
Right. But the kids are smarter because they did something that I like to do with this show. They took a right-wing stunt and they turned it into something meaningful. Do you remember during the Terri Schiavo protests, all the right-wing idiots who sat around with duct tape across their mouth?
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, this time, these students went to the school board meeting with yellow duct tape across their mouth and the word censored written across it.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I have, to get off subject a little bit, I have secured an interview with someone that I'm extremely proud of, and he's working on my questions. He's going to get back to me, and I'll be able to publish it pretty soon.
Oh, great. Care to give us a hint?
Marty Kaiser.
Okay, that name rings a bell. Help me.
Okay, his life was kind of the model for Gene Hackman's character in The Conversation.
Okay, okay.
And in Enemy of the State.
Yeah.
And I tell you, if you read about this man, his book comes out in January. If you read about this man, he has been through, all caps now, ringer.
Yeah.
The FBI, he testified of the holes in the system and he got put through the ringer. The FBI tried to ruin him completely. He had a nervous breakdown. Awful, awful stuff. And he's written a book. And I'm going to, I emailed him and asked him, you know, could I interview him and can post it on my blog? And I've got quite a few readers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, I've never had a question like that, and I'll see what I can do.
ChrisMansell.blogspot.com, correct?
No, it's going to be at the Mansell Report.
Okay.
When I get it up.
TheMansellReport.blogspot.com.
He gets back to me. But he's going to, I asked him some questions about the Echelon listening stations. And I asked him one question I'm really hoping he will answer. Would it be possible for a government that has the capability to eavesdrop on the goings-on at Guantanamo and Evergrande?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think so.
But if there is a way of preventing that, and then we've got a whole new ballgame.
Explain, please.
Well, if they have the same technology we do and they can listen all over, would we in some way be able to catch on that they are listening and change it where they can't listen, even though they have the same equipment we do? Do we have something nobody else does?
Ah, okay. I see what you're getting at.
And that's scarier than the Echelon stations now.
Yeah, in many ways, you're right. You're right.
But I'm hoping, I told him, I said, take your time, because his book comes out in January, so I imagine you're going to see him all over CNN and everywhere when it comes out.
Well, hopefully maybe we'll get a chance to chat with him when that time does come.
Yeah. When I get my answers back from him, I hope so. I'll mention that you'd love to have him on.
Do please.
And man has led a very interesting life. And I'm sure that he is the kind of person that would go, you know what? I don't think I would want the people telling my child what to write in a school paper.
No. And, you know,
he's been promoting democracy all his life by doing this work, trying to keep us all safe.
Right.
So I'm sure he would feel the same way.
Well, when I did the show Friday, I had that clip from 1986, William S. Burroughs, his Thanksgiving address of 1986.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the lines in there is, thanks for creating the think state. Thanks for making it so that no one can mind their own business anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. Nobody, why couldn't these school administrators mind their own business? This is not their business. This is children. This is young, you know, young people, people on the way to being adults, trying to inform each other.
Let me read you a brief thing a friend of mine wrote on
his
blog, jazzmanchronicles.blogspot.com.
Okay.
On this day of Thanksgiving, I reflect on the positive changes in my life and the lives of others in my community and beyond, for which I should be grateful. And he goes on thanking his family. I forgive the small betrayals of the communal trust for which there is underlying beneficent intent in place, and I will look for the intent beyond the sting of perceived unwarranted abuse. He thanks John Murtha. He thanks Paul Hackett. He thanks Howard Zinn, Mickey Z, Ralph Nader. And I forgive Move On and other partisan organizations for failing to find the anti-war ground as they struggle to overcome the politics of pragmatism. He goes down, I thank the people of Spain for finding a more enlightened way to respond to acts of terrorism and for leading European opposition to the Iraq War. But he goes on and on, I thank Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez for his opposition to global exportation and for his bold and generous gift of cheap heating oil to poor American communities. I thought that was wonderful.
That is.
That was, I know you probably, I didn't hear it, but I'm sure you talked about that quite a bit.
Well, the Hugo Chavez deal, yeah, but he's a commie. And there, you know, there it was on Lou Dobbs again tonight as I was getting ready to come in. Hugo, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez snubs America again. You know, pretty soon they're going to be calling him a brutal dictator. We got to hit the break, though, Chris. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate
it. All right, take it easy. And when we come back, more of your calls. 877-443-2366. This is Head On.
just a kid. I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Before the hour, and a reminder, hopefully, if all things, you know, the stars align, we hold our arms out and our tongues just right and everything, we'll be chatting with both Lydia Cornell in the top part of the 9 o'clock hour, as well as hopefully our friend Steve Nicholas, future candidate for the legislature from Jackson County. So two good conversations coming up in the final hour of tonight's Tuesday night edition of Head On. And to the phones, another good conversation, always a good conversation with Gary. How you doing?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Having fun tonight.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You know, Bill O'Reilly, you know, Bill O'Reilly just engenders the spirit of the holiday season for me. It just makes me feel all Christmassy.
Oh, I like old Bill, but I think he's full of crap sometimes.
Yeah, well, he's brown-eyed, isn't he? I mean, you can tell how high it's rising in him.
Hey, I heard you talking about this case down in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing you reference children. That's the word that you used all the time was children. And
school children, yeah.
They're children. And, Bob, the fact of the matter is the parents and the school administrators have the right to censor what they hear.
Well,
they're not adults. They're not college
students. They're not adults, and it is established that, you know, you know, in high school papers, you can't print pictures of George Bush with a bullseye over his face or anything like that. You can't do that. But there was nothing obscene. There was nothing inflammatory. There was nothing that was likely to lead to riot or mayhem in those articles.
No, there wasn't, but still they decided they wanted to censor that content. They've got the perfect right to do that.
Well, there's a quote in the story from the Associated Press. "This is a terrible lesson in civics," said a University of Tennessee journalism professor, Dwight Teeter. "This is about the administration wanting control. Either the students are going to have a voice or you're going to have a PR rag for the administration." And I guess, you know, in the way you describe it, I suppose that the administration has decided they want a PR rag for abstinence-only-based education. You know, if I was an educator, I would hope to, you know, help save these young people's lives.
Well, see, what it really is here, you have to define this by its component parts. Number one, they do have the right to censor the content of what they're...
Some of that is established in constitutional law. That's true.
Okay, but really, it just boils down to opinion. After that, I mean, you're for sex education, and these people down there apparently aren't.
Well, no, that's the problem. They've got a sex education class, and the reason the article showed up in the newspaper is because the sex education class basically says, you know, birds do it, bees do it, don't you do it?
Well, okay, I mean, that's what they've decided though on a local level.
No, they haven't decided that on a local level. That came down from Washington, Gary. You know,
I mean, what I'm talking about decided on a local level, they decided to censor the content of the newspaper.
Is that really the civics lesson you want to teach to young adults, though? I mean, that's one of those freedoms that some of those kids are going to be going and dying for in the sands of Iraq.
Well, you know, don't people censor the Internet content that their children view? I mean, yeah, they're perfectly within their rights.
Well, those are parents. Those are individual parents. Those are not, I mean, that's like this stupid policy in West Virginia. At least it's parent-based.
The administrator is a parent by proxy. I mean, that's why he's there. He's there to look after the interest of the parent.
And the interest in the parent, the parents have an interest in making sure that their children can't get hold of birth control so that they wind up with grandkids they don't need?
Well, Bob, you know, I'm sure if those parents think it's a danger, they'll make sure that their kids have that information.
Well, that's the problem with hormonal, you know, adolescence, though. You know, here's your intelligent design, you know. I mean, the hormones come on, and frankly, at some point, teenagers are going to do it.
Well, I don't say that. That's the way it is nowadays, because basically we followed the liberal line and we said, well, it's going to happen anyway. But it wasn't always that way in this country.
Sure it was. Sure it was. I mean, look at the marriageable age of women, young ladies, whatever you want, in the Appalachians 100 years ago.
I was, what, 13?
Yeah, 12, you know. First menses and off you go. You're married, sweetie. I mean, so, yeah, it has been going on. Heavens, look at the... I mean, there are those who make the argument that menopause happens in women because of the advance in life expectancy as compared to the advance in birth or fertility. That women used to die before menopause would kick in.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm sure in some
sense. And in that instance, you're talking about human females.
Uh-huh.
Let's not get mixed up in the word children, young adults, adolescents. Human females who began breeding the minute that they became fertile.
Yeah.
I mean, now we're talking about cave people. No, actually, we're talking about medieval people. Wait a minute, we're talking about 18th century. Wait a minute, we're talking about 21st century females. So it seems only rational and prudent. Because what these people are doing is they are damning a certain segment of the population within that school so that they can enforce their religious beliefs on that self same population to their detriment. Now
do you see what you're saying here? You're saying essentially what you're saying. You're saying that these people are victims of their own beliefs, and you don't think it should be that way.
No, I'm not saying that they're victims. You can't be a victim unless well, I suppose you can, but. What I'm saying is that there is a segment of the population in this school that is lording it over the people who don't want it that way. Obviously, the vast majority of these children don't want it that way. They were being...
Well, first of all, I just don't think what those children want is material at all. It's what their parents want, because until you're 18 years old, and you're an emancipated adult, really, you have to live under the rules that are set forth.
Well, that's the law.
That's just the way it is. Now, you know that, Bob.
That's the law we've laid down here, but that's...
Don't step in it here. Now, I know you've got, what, 5 kids?
4.
Don't step in it. Now.
Yeah, no, those are the rules here under the under the roof of the house. But I would never dream of imposing my religious beliefs on an entire school. And this is religious-based. It's not science-based. It's anti-science-based.
Bob, religion, simply put, is just what you believe. And if you do not believe in God and you're an atheist, and that is your religion, it's just what you believe. If you're a right-wing conservative, and that's your religion. If you're a left-wing liberal, that's your religion.
But why do they? But Gary, why do they have the right? Why do they have the right to force their religious beliefs about abstinence and their faith? Why do they have the right to foist that on little girls that they don't want becoming pregnant in the first place?
Because they have a system set up down there where they have an administrator, they have principals, and these people are there put in place to look after the interest of the parents. And that's just the way the system is set up. Now, maybe you don't agree with it.
Oh, of course not.
But, that doesn't make it wrong.
Well, in this case, I think I've made a pretty good case for its wrongness.
Well, just say, put the shoe on the other foot. Just say that the paper was coming out with articles that just simply were just based on nothing but abstinence and everything else, and they wanted to shut them down.
That would be censorship, too.
Well, okay. But what I'm trying to say, though, is it cuts both ways. Your opinion, your belief is that these children should have access to that information. Those people down there apparently don't believe it that way, and they've got to...
Well, that's the thing. It's the administrators and the principal. This was a unilateral action.
Well, under our system, the way we've got things set up, they can do that. Just think how many decisions... All right, in Raleigh County, one guy decided that nobody is going to smoke indoors in Raleigh County.
Well,
establishment.
Yeah.
I didn't like that, but that's the way the system's set up. One guy made that decision.
Yeah. And it's wrong. I despise authoritarianism of almost all stripes.
Well, I do too, but...
These are freedom issues.
Well, I just can't agree with you because they're minors. Now, if they were college students, I think it'd have to be a different...
The editor of this paper is, six months from being a college student. Isn't that kind of arbitrary?
Oh, yeah, well, maybe it is. But that's just the way we got set up. We say when you're 18, you can go off and fight and die in a war. You can't drink a beer, but you can...
Yeah, and you can register for the draft at 16 on driver's license forms in West Virginia.
Yeah.
That's offensive.
Well, now, that's where I think we can come together, because I think that if... you can be expected to go fight and die for your country, you had to enjoy every last privilege and right that everybody else has got.
Exactly.
And that really just burns me. It really does. And I made a post the other day on a message board. I mentioned that. If you can't enjoy all the privileges of citizenry, why should you want to go and offer your life up to defend that?
And fight and die for it. You're absolutely right. And we're absolutely out of time, Gary. Always good to hear from you.
Nice to talk to you.
Take care. And a break, and then hopefully we'll be hearing from Lydia Cornell. I look forward to this conversation. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The rebel,
you.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. A little earlier start than usual. I hate to keep our guests waiting, so we'll just start it up and get going a little before 5 past the hour. That's okay. This is Head On. You know that. I'm Bob. You know the phone number. Email bob at headonradio.com. And we are joined right now by Lydia Cornell, as I promised earlier. Ms. Cornell, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. Hi, Bob. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. And just to give a little bit of background to folks, you are a performer.
Yeah.
They might well remember you from... well, good gracious, I've got a list in front of me here that...
Too Close for Comfort
is the starter, Sarah Rush.
Sarah Rush.
But you've appeared in any number of various different shows, not the least of which, my goodness, Twilight Zone, Simon & Simon, Full House, Knight Rider, Love Boat, T.J. Hooker. You've had an extensive career, and I told Brad Friedman earlier that I especially respected the fact that you've got significant stage credits as well.
Oh, thank you. Are you a stage actor as well?
A very frustrated amateur one. more than anything else, right now we're dealing with the fact that you've been rather scandalized by Ann Coulter, have you not?
Yes. I have. I didn't think she would do anything this personal. I mean, I've had crank calls all day. She posted my personal email, my personal phone number, and the letter I wrote her a month ago. I wrote her a letter just to get some information.
Yeah, let's back up and do a little background here, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Ann Coulter addressed what, the Alachua County, Florida Republican Association?
Yeah, they had her to speak at their Ronald Reagan blue jeans and black tie barbecue to celebrate his birthday, and they paid her $30,000 to come and speak. And I was shocked that she called for the repression of free speech of Democrats. It was just one more thing she said after the killing of liberals and the calling for the assassination of Clinton and beating liberals with a baseball bat. I've been watching her for years just sort of dumbstruck.
Yeah, well, and this this comes off, they play this off as satire, right?
Yeah. I thought all human suffering was caused by Victoria's Secret, but now I feel like it's Ann Coulter.
Oh, mercy.
And hate-mongers and other people of their ilk, you know what I mean?
And yeah, and beyond your acting career, you're very socially active as well. And so that was the motivating force behind your simply writing to find out if she really said and really meant what she said. Is that correct?
First, let me just backtrack a second. I just did Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO, and I played a Victoria's Secret saleswoman. selling Larry David a bra. So I thought that was kind of ironic. I keep getting these bizarre coincidences. Yes, I just wrote a simple, sweet, you know, non kind of an innocuous email.
Yeah, I've got it here in front of me. It's not the letter I would write to Ann Coulter.
I do not believe. I really believe that in Christ's law that you're supposed to first take people, see the best in them, expect the best.
Right.
Love your enemy. I really believe that. I believe in the golden rule. I believe that people are good until proven, you know, demonic.
Yeah. Nasty.
And nasty, evil. I did say a lot of things. And in my own house, I actually am having this thing with my husband where we're total opposites. I mean, thank God, he thinks all Democrats are vegetarians. He's a Republican who he's got these. Hey, I'm turning him slowly to the other side.
Bring him into the light, Lydia. Into the light.
But I believe that all, you know, you're supposed to be married to the person who annoys you the most, because the most spiritual growth happens with your enemy.
There's some, absolutely. I noticed that comment there. It explains the 12 and a half years my wife and I have been together.
Well, no, I mean, you're supposed to be able, they call us mushy Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see all sides. We want to understand the enemy. But there's nothing wrong with understanding an enemy that doesn't want foreign footprints on Holy Land and wondering why they're bombing us. And instead of just saying they're all, you know, evil terrorists, of course their behavior is evil.
Yeah, that goes back to Ann Coulter. Kill them all and convert their leaders to Christianity. Wasn't that one of them?
Very funny. And she winks and snortles, you know, cheers and smirks when she says it. Snortles. Is that a word?
It is now.
She's a sneering chortle.
But it's, you know, we've got this satire problem with the right wing, Lydia.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Ann Coulter. Well, you know, I say this hateful stuff, but it's all just, you know, it's just shtick.
It's just satire.
And then, you know, O'Reilly pulled the same thing the other, a couple of weeks ago when he suggested that Al-Qaeda bomb San Francisco. Well, it was political satire.
Lovely words.
Yeah.
There's no humility in anyone that is speaking publicly on the right wing. I've never seen a humble person except John McCain, who actually, they've smeared him as well.
Right.
But we need, see, what I'm trying to do is bridge the gap. Moderation, I know, seems a little boring, but we've got to stop somewhere because we're going to annihilate each other, and no one's getting it. There are gray areas between liberals and Democrats. There's lots of things I don't completely agree with everything. All the way liberal, but I'm more liberal than most.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
We have lots of different colors.
The question, I suppose, that we have gone over a lot on this show, Lydia, is you talk about bridging the gap, and it's a philosophical sort of question. Is that possible? Can you
open the dialogue and you have a softer, there is a way to bring peace to both sides if they'll just listen to each other and stop making extremism sexy. I mean, the title of my article, Death is Sexier Than Sex, that seems to be, even with my kids watching violent movies, it's like a thrill. Constant violence, constant killing, constant fighting, Jerry Springer-type fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to people really talking and hearing each other and then coming to a common ground. We're all like evil abortionists.
So in terms of what you wrote this letter to Ann Coulter, and like I said, I've read it. It's not the letter I would write to her. It doesn't have any of the words I would be using, the words that I'm ashamed for my mother to know I even know how to use.
I'd love to hear that.
But I mean, it was what you just described. It was an attempt. It was a bridging attempt.
Yeah.
It was a respectful, and this can all be seen at bradblog.com.
Right.
It was an attempt.
Best website in the world, by the way.
Absolutely.
I
love Brad's reportage, and he's sent a lot of wonderful stuff my way for this show.
Yeah.
He's like liberal in some ways. You know, he's like liberal show prep.
He needs his own network. I mean, he's bradblog.com. It's like, I don't know. He's just very giving and generous and not ego-centered.
Right.
But anyway, go ahead.
So you write this letter. People can see it at Bradblog. And you make this simple inquiry.
Yeah.
And in response, you get what can only be described as a polemic.
Well, after this, I sent the email. An auto-response came back saying she's out of town till November 15th. So I didn't let it go. I didn't even think about it. And then suddenly Brad calls me yesterday and says she posted it on her website front page. And then wrote this sneering attack going, death is sexier than Lydia Cornell. And why is she attacking me? I've done nothing to her.
But that's how but on the right, Lydia, that's how you evade the question. I deal with it all the time, especially on my message boards at my website. You ask a straightforward question, and instead of getting an answer back, they start talking about what a lousy example of a member of the human race you are.
Right. But you know what? I'm ready to take that on because I have a lot of flaws, and I've really seen them clearly, and I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting mistakes. I mean, I'm talking about if they were to dig dirt up.
Sure.
It's like we are supposed to have some flaws as humans. She's the only one that I know doesn't claim to have any.
Well, and
white middle class, upper middle class background.
And oddly enough, I participated in a discussion about this. It's hard to find out exactly what her background is back beyond college.
Exactly. Interesting.
It has been sanitized and sterilized, and, well, I'm going to be mean here, and there's no explanation for that Adam's apple.
I know.
Oh my God, Lydia! She's got hands like Johnny Bench. She's got hands like a welder. But no, okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. That's very, very bad.
I've been trying to picture it. People have been trying to look up her skirt for years.
Oh God.
It's really mean.
Oh, I'll have nightmares tonight.
There is an Adam's apple there, and those are only for Adam, aren't they?
Right. You know, it's those are man. You know, Jerry Seinfeld. Those are man hands. So she posts your personal information. You have been barraged, have you not?
Yes.
With right-wing hate.
I have been, actually. I think she posted it on her website so people would, all of her fans would go to bradblog.com and then write the hate mail that she wants them to write, obviously, because they've seen my letter, my article. And, you know, they accuse me of spewing hate the way she does. But I've actually just compared her bewilderingly and in humor, which I'm using all the time anyway.
Right.
I do a lot of comedy. To a fundamentalist right-wing zealot in a weird way. Well, it is what she is. There's nothing wrong with calling a spade a spade. And
no.
And the people who do nothing are the ones that we have to be careful.
Well, I have made the comparison in the past, or the argument in the past, that if they sat down and really studied what each other believed, we would find out that these right-wing fundies and these I call them religion industry monsters, and I separate them very, very distinctly from people who actually try to follow the teachings of Yeshua.
Right.
But these religion industry monsters, if they actually sat down and had a cup of tea with Osama bin Laden, they'd walk out of the tent with their arms around each other. They believe the same stuff.
Oh, my God, they sure do. They do.
You know,
they believe
women are garbage.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No.
Ann Coulter actually said that. She said women are not so bright. We're not so bright. They should, you know, what she did to Harriet Myers, I'm not saying.
Yeah, and back, and you know, women are not so bright, and suddenly we're back with Ann Coulter to the man hands. But the right wing fundies and the Islamic fundies believe that women are second class human beings. They believe that a literalist interpretation of Holy Scripture is the only way to go. You know, Adam and Eve rode to church on a dinosaur, that kind of thing. And they no booze, no gambling. You know,
And no winning at backgammon if you're a woman. I know a woman who lived in the Middle East. Her husband wouldn't let her win anything. She embarrassed. You know. Was a pariah. But my whole book, I'm writing a book with a conservative Christian who actually has written 40 essays, technically, countering every single thing Ann Coulter ever said,
mm-hmm.
all of her lies. I have all the creative kind of spiritual essays, and it's called, and Brad Friedman's writing it with us. It's called How to Talk to Ann Coulter If You Must. and other hate mongers, if you must. And it's about political pornography. And what my whole angle is about the evangelicals and the fundamentalists and the premillennialists and this Armageddon.
Dominionists. And
I'm frightened of what they actually believe, that they're going to be raptured up into heaven, arrogantly looking down at those left behind, as if a God of love would do this.
Well, don't forget, Lydia, there's something else that happens before that. If you really get into this stuff, if you follow this dominionism and Christian Reconstructionism, a very central point of this, and I mean no disrespect to anybody, but they honestly believe that when Jesus comes back, it's either before or after the rapture, but at some point they get to come back with Jesus and kill him some Jews.
God! Oh, yes, 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 which is why the fundamentalists are supporting Israel. And the Jews don't realize that it's really for their destruction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've talked about it in the past. There's a religion industry fundamentalist gang that is supporting. You know, they won't support stem cell research. They won't support anything that does good for humankind. But they are supporting cloning research in Israel to create a perfect red heifer. Because that's part of fundamentalist Jewish eschatology. Got to have a perfect red heifer, no white hair anywhere on it, and then boom, we can knock down the Dome of the Rock.
Oh my!
We can rebuild the temple, bring in all the hardware, and
a red heifer.
Red heifer.
What is going on? It feels like we are in the Dark Ages.
It feels like we're in the freaking Twilight Zone, Lydia.
The Twilight Zone is exactly what I remember.
You know, Rod Serling's going to come around the corner, skinny tie, dark suit, and everything's going to be okay.
But you know what scares me? Ann Coulter appeals to this cult of young Republicans wearing the bow ties really tight around their necks. I read that somewhere today.
Yeah.
Or the really beautiful, the little suits. And she's actually, they're impressionable people. These are young people. You know, we're all, you know, at different stages of growth, but
right.
These people believe her and think this is normal to speak this way. We've got someone has to come out and say this isn't right. We have to start speaking up more. I was tongue-tied for about a year. Just, you know, that article I wrote about John Ashton agony. I've never felt so paralyzed with disbelief. I started looking up websites like "Is George Bush the Antichrist?" because I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, no, they're going to find out that I'm looking up this website, and it's written by a priest, I think. There is a website like
that. Yeah, there is. Well, you know, on this show, Once Upon a Time, I read from Revelations chapter 13, where it describes the beast being wounded in the head and returning and dropping, raining fire and death from above upon the people. And you know, bang, there was George banging his head on the pretzel. And the next thing you know, there's fire and death raining on Fallujah, and we found out about the white phosphorus and the thermobaric weapons. Dude is the Antichrist. Maybe.
Well, and then this thing, it says in the Bible, actually, Jesus says there will be wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, he appears to be an idiot, but it's not that he's not an idiot. It's that he's a clever, innocuous idiot. In other words, he's such an idiot.
I know. It's tough to get your mind around, isn't it?
He's fooling everybody. You know,
but you know the people, you know, and it speaks to the people who will be led away from the faith. And as far as I'm concerned, those false prophets that are being spoken of, you know, that's your James Dobson, that's your Kennedy down at
right.
Coral Snake Ministries in
Florida.
Well,
they're the Pharisees in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing Christ, and I really do have an incredible faith in God because I had a miraculous, super. I've had these amazing miracles happen in my life, and I'm going to write about them. They're funny. I mean, I had raw, embarrassing, ugly. Spiritual growth. A lot of humiliating things happened to me. And a crack.
Well, you're in a humiliating place, Lydia. I mean, it's
yeah.
Hollywood. You know, forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Yeah. But a lot of just really bad, you know.
Yeah.
You grow. You crash and burn and you grow. And if you come out of it alive, you learn a lot of lessons. And I forgot what I was going to say. What were we on the subject of?
Well, we were talking about the fact that you were discussing your... Your growth and well, this is a horizontal conversation. I'm not very good at the vertical stuff.
Yeah, I'm not very good at vertical stuff either. But Christ said in the all of his work, he says the Pharisees are the only thing that annoyed him more than anything. Abortion, you think would have been conceived by a God who's omniscient?
Yeah.
You think it would have been one of those things that would have been brought up ahead of time? An omnipresent, omniscient God would have thought of abortion, and homosexuality would have been mentioned by Christ.
Or not created in the first place.
Yeah, or created. But the main thing Christ talks about are the Pharisees, these people that walk around arrogantly displaying their religion on their sleeve and telling everyone what not to do. Judgmental, arrogant Pharisees. These are the people that are running.
And they shall have their reward here on earth.
That's right.
That's what he said. And you're right. You know, for every one time, and maybe it's one time that Jesus mentions... let's see, there's that reference about if you want to follow me, go have yourself castrated or something like that. It's just bizarre. You know, for the one time he does something like that about sex, there's, you know, 18 dozen references to don't be mean to the poor.
Well, no, he actually says over and over, blessed are the meek, the peacemakers, the poor. Love your enemy.
Yeah, sure.
Resist not evil. Don't resist hatred. Don't fight anyone or anything. It's all spiritual.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, time and again on this show, and I know you're not that familiar with it, but, you know, I say that, you know, maybe rather than this fake and phony intonation of, and God bless America,
yeah.
You know, maybe we ought to change that over to, and God forgive America.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have this bad habit, embarrassing habit of dropping bombs on people and then saying, oops,
yeah.
We're the good guy. You know we're the good guy.
We're bringing you freedom. You know, right after the bombs, we've got the Frisbees and Wheat Checks on the way. But what are you going to do about what Ms. Coulter's done, Lydia?
Well, I think we might write a letter. I might write a letter saying, if you don't take my personal information off your website, I'm going to have to press legal charges. I don't know.
Because, I mean, obviously, I have a feeling these phone numbers are no good for you anymore.
No, I'm changing my number, of course, but and I've had this number for years.
Yeah.
And my kids have it. I have two sons, and they're, you know, it's annoying.
It is, indeed.
What would you do? Would you sue her?
In a minute. Yesterday. absolutely, because it was not intended for publication, and she...
Why would she? It feels like she's threatened in some way.
She is threatened.
I would have ignored it completely.
I saw her, and I think you've hit the nail on the head, Lydia. I saw on, I think it was C-SPAN 2, some appearance at some bookshop. You know, she's out there shilling her hateful little screed. And she was sitting there, and the guy, her press guy or her PR guy, was actively, the crowd was just sitting there in dumb shock.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there trying to goad them into asking her questions that would get her shtick going, and nobody was playing.
Yeah.
She is coming very, very near the end of the end of her string.
Oh, I see. Yesterday I had the same thought. I thought, oh, she just needs more publicity, and she's going to try to provoke another fight to bring her into the public eye again.
Exactly. You know, and some
find them anywhere.
And sometimes leave them alone, and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them is pretty doggone good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's reprehensible. I think the liberal and progressive community, the people that listen to this show, need to understand how hateful the other side is. While I applaud, and I'll be honest with you, while I applaud your desire to bridge the gap and reach out, like I said, we've had numerous discussions on whether that's even possible. I've lost friends that, you know, they're all right wingy, and you know, we can't have a conversation anymore.
I know. I had a, believe it or not, I actually threw myself to the wolves. I had some Christian friends from church. I had my kids in this church, and we still go to the church. I like it. But I really haven't brought myself to go up there again. But they argued with me about my sister, who's gay,
mm-hmm.
and they said, you know, she has no right to have ever, ever, ever act on her sexuality. Because it's a sin. And I looked at them and I said, you honestly believe that's what Christ meant when he said, do not judge? Do you really think that's the loving your, you know, the sinners were the ones he loved the most? I saw the Johnny Cash movie the other day.
Oh.
The Line.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a great movie. And the record executive says to him, your fans are all church going folks. They're not going to like it if you sing to Folsom Prison. And he goes, well, then they aren't Christians, are they? It's the people in prison, it's the AIDS victims, it's the lepers, it's the downtrodden, it's the people that...
Yeah, Jesus wasn't hanging out with the Tony people.
He didn't like the arrogant people, the leaders. He wanted to be with the people that needed him, that needed love.
Exactly.
And that's who we embrace, that we're compassionate. I can't imagine any other way to be than to be loving. The more enlightened I become, the more liberal I become.
Good for you.
And everyone, I think George Bush needs his 12-step program.
Yeah, but it's not the problem's not the 12 steps with him. It's getting him to take the first one.
Exactly.
You know, for fear of the old Latin proverb, for fear of failing, he stood still. It's a very bizarre family, and he truly does stand still.
Well, he could get over his issues with his dad. At least have Alan on.
Oh God, and mommy. You know.
Yeah.
You know, when they shuffle you off to the sitter the day they bury your 3-year-old sister, they shuffle you off to the sitter and go play golf.
Oh.
You're gonna grow up with issues.
Right. Well, get them healed before you leave. He's the leader of the free world. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, before we go, Lydia, do you have any film projects in the works?
Yes, I wrote and directed a film called Venus Conspiracy, and it's really, really, it's about to come out. I mean, it's not done yet, but we were offered licensing agreements on it. I have this big other book that is coming out on the Trotsky assassination, finally.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, I'm becoming more of a writer. I've always been a writer, but now I'm really coming into it.
Well, when that comes out, would you stay in contact? I'd love to read it and turn folks on to it and check it out for myself.
Oh, thank you, Bob. It's so much fun talking to you.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure, Lydia, and I hope we'll hear from you again. If this develops any further, please let us know. We're in your corner.
Thank you.
And we'll be watching for your latest work. Has the Curb Your Enthusiasm aired?
Yes, it aired about 15 times in October.
Oh, okay.
We rerun them. It'll be on DVD probably at the end of the...
Well, you know, I've had my brush with greatness now, so I'm definitely going to pick that up.
That was a fun show. Check out my website for updates on everything.
Yes, indeed. And that website is?
LydiaCornell.com.
And that's Cornell with two L's and one R.
LydiaCornell.com. Hey, Ann Coulter went to Cornell University, so.
See how it works?
Yeah.
She may go back there again. Lydia, do take care. And thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Check out bradblog.com also.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care. God bless.
God bless you. And we've got Steve Nicholas online. Brad Friedman has jumped in real quick, and we'll come to Steve after that. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Bob. I was too slow. I just wanted to jump in and say hey and thank Lydia for all that she's doing, putting out the good word.
What a wonderful person.
Isn't she great?
She is. That's our side. We're nice people.
Yeah, I know. She really is, and the sort of onslaught of attacks she's taken in the past 24 hours since Coulter, you know, posted her private information on her website, you know, the grace with which she has taken it has been remarkable, and I was going to mention, she responded, just before she came on the air today, she posted a response to Coulter at Brad Blog, and your listeners may want to check it out. She posted just one of the pieces of hate mail that she received from the Coulter supporters out there. This is lovely. Said something like, "You liberal idiots and your ilk should have been standing in a line at the World Trade Center when they were hit. I, for one, would not have minded." That's the sort of folks who are... standing,
and these are the people who think they're the patriotic Americans.
Yeah, exactly. These are the, and not just patriotic Americans. Of course, these are the
Christians,
conservatives,
yes,
as they claim. Which, frankly, you know, I think it's time the Christians, the real Christians out there, folks like Lydia, you know, stand up and make noise, and frankly, take their religion back from these folks who have hijacked it, who are clearly anything but religious.
You said it in a nutshell, and some of that has to do with I don't know if it's a matter of disobeying Christ's teachings or what, but you know, fighting back.
Well, it's amazing that Christians have allowed themselves, frankly, and they really have. They've allowed themselves to be used by these folks who are, you know, taking advantage of them for, you know, pure partisan reasons. When Michael Scanlon, who's now been indicted, he was Jack Abramoff's partner when he testified in Congress about all of this. They read a memo that he wrote about
the email.
Yeah, an email, right, saying that Christian that the idea is to call out the Christian conservative wackos by, you know, appealing to their media and getting something on the ballot that they can get behind. I mean, he actually calls them Christian wackos.
And the fact of the matter is, Brad, I believe that sensibility probably goes all the way down through the command structure. I mean, that wasn't just Michael Scanlon. That's the way they think about these people. They think of them and treat them like useful idiots.
Exactly. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Scanlon... boy, there's so many of them in trouble now. I hope I'm not getting the Matrix confused here. But Scanlon worked with
DeLay and Abramoff.
DeLay, that's right. Tom DeLay. So, and of course, and they're all very close to.
And Scanlon and Scanlon's tie to the Christian right was through Ralph Reed.
That's right. Oh, Ralph Reed made millions of dollars off of these Indian tribes who had given you know, money to them to supposedly, you know, support gambling, something that I don't think most Christian conservatives are usually in favor of. Ralph Reed made millions of dollars off of that.
Well, and I saw another one of Scanlon's emails where he adopted this sort of, and maybe I was reading more into it than was there, but a sort of he adopted a dialect in the course of this email, and he's writing back to a Bram Offer delay or something. He said, "We's gonna be rich."
Yep.
Talking about fleecing the Tigua tribe, because they took money from other tribes to keep the Tiguas from getting a casino. Then they took money from the Tiguas to advocate for that casino.
Exactly right. And, I mean, the only question left at this point with what's Bush's approval rating is down to 35%, something like that. You know, the only question at this point is when are those 35% who still support this jerk gonna understand, you know, what's really going on and how they have been used, so that, you know, Bush and his friends are, you know, can succeed, as you said, making millions of dollars on the back of the working people and, you know, from the blood of those men and women who have fallen in these ridiculous wars. When are they going to get it? It's still a surprise to me that his approval rating is as high as it is at 35.
It has room. It has room to drop, and I predict, Brad, that the number you'll see it drop to is roughly 22 to 25%, because those are people that answered the exit polling on November 2, 2004, by saying that they went into the booth concerned about quote unquote moral values.
And that would be the 22-25%, I believe, was the numbers that Richard Nixon had just before he decided it would be better for him to leave.
And a great way to segue into referencing your Richard Nixon countdown at bradblog.com.
There it is, right up there, where you can count down and find out if Bush is going to out-trick Tricky Dick. Hey, listen, Bob, I don't want to keep you. I just wanted to call in, tell you to keep up the great work. And,
thanks so much, Brad.
Talking to Lydia and spreading all the good words.
All right, take care, and we're still looking for the good news from you about the reincarnation of the Brad Show.
Oh, it's coming soon is all I can say. Hey, by the way, we've also got Bill O'Reilly's enemies list posted up.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
You did? You covered that earlier?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We're not on it yet, Brad.
No, I'm sorry that neither you nor I have made it, and I think we should both be ashamed of ourselves.
I'm doing my very best, trying to get on it. And if you talk to Ariana, mention my name, please.
I will do that.
All right, take care, Brad.
Thanks, Bob.
Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Always a fun conversation. Before that, of course, Lydia Cornell. I love doing this show. This is so cool. And our third cool person in a row, our friend Steve Nicholas from Jackson County. Steve, I'm sorry you had to wait.
That's all right. That was a good half hour before, so I don't mind the wait.
And just to let people know who you are, you're a recent graduate of West Virginia University, the journalism school, was it?
No, I'm a religious studies.
Religious
major,
studies, that's right.
But I was an op-ed columnist for the school paper.
Right. And you're there. Are you there in Jackson County?
Yeah.
And you're going to which district is it again, please?
The 12th district.
You're gonna run for the legislature from the 12th district, and what possessed you to jump into the legislative cesspool?
Well, I was thinking about a potential run for a while because I've been interested in politics for a while, and I've really started to become more active after the 2000 election. I transferred to WVU in the spring of 2001, and that's really whenever the activism sort of kicked off. And eventually, I sort of decided, well, why not just take a stand and put my views out on the line? And then I was sort of trying to decide where to put my ideas to the test, and I figured that probably the state house would Delegates to be the best place, because that way I'll get a chance to talk to more voters one-on-one.
Absolutely.
In a state legislature race.
I read one of your columns there at the Daily Athenaeum website, in which you sort of defined your vision of a progressive or a liberal, you know, you embraced the word, a liberal mindset. How about sharing a little bit of that with the listeners?
Well, to me, it seems like over the last few years that the word liberal has just been demonized and demonized, and so many people, rather than just standing up and saying liberalism is a good thing, have tried to use the word progressive, which I don't really agree with that, because I think sooner or later the Republicans are starting to go after that too, and they already are to an extent, because I remember a West Wing episode where Alan Alda's character said, oh, that's right, you don't call yourself liberals anymore, you call yourself progressives. But really, whenever you think about all the accomplishments of the last 70 years, Social Security, Medicare, GI Bill, the Marshall Plan, the civil rights era, every
rural electrification. Electricity is a liberal idea in this country. It's a pretty long list, isn't it?
Yeah. And, I mean, to me, why not defend that and why not carry it on further? Because we still got ways to go. Like Paul Wellstone used to say, I'm on fire because there are many mountains ahead of us. And, well, we still got mountains that we've got to fight.
Well, how does that translate into your particular view of the direction West Virginia ought to be going in?
Well, I think that one of the big problems is that for far too long, we've given all kinds of money to the coal companies and the big businesses from out of state to try to come in and give us jobs. Then instead, we should look to the community, look to our neighbors, because if we do that, then we're going to have more of a chance to actually, because the friends and neighbors, they'll create wealth, they'll create more jobs, create more infrastructure, and whenever we do that, that means that we'll grow and that we won't have to rely on other, on out-of-state people who don't really have our best interests at heart. And that means we got to do something to try to connect more areas of the state, because if you don't have a four-lane highway right now, then you're in a lot of trouble, because I've been to plenty of places where they don't have any, and it's just like stepping back in time.
That's so interesting you would mention that. There are two places I've talked about from time to time in West Virginia with it, which I have some familiarity. Oddly enough, just about the highest unemployment in this state routinely is in Calhoun County. And Calhoun County, you know, Grantsville, has not one inch of four-lane road. You know, why is business going to come somewhere that they've got to struggle to get their product in and out?
Yeah, I mean, that's why, I'm trying to get the infrastructure built up to try to get some sort of, and also a public transportation program, because...
Now, that was a great idea. I read that. You've got a vision for meaningful mass transit on a statewide level. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'm in the National Guard, and one of the summer trips we took was to Germany, and I lived in Long Island for a couple of years, and when I was in both of those places, I remember that you could go just about anywhere for a few dollars, just get on the LIRR in New York, in Long Island, and then take the subway or take the train systems in Germany, and they take you all across the country more or less for, I think the trip from like Hohenfels to Munich was $8.
Yeah.
If five people got together. So if we had a system like that, then that way we cut down on traffic congestion, because anybody who's lived in Morgantown for any amount of time knows that how much of a nightmare it is to drive through their traffic. And even here in Jackson County, if you're here during lunch hour or as work, or as people are coming to and going from work, we still got traffic congestion here. It's not a very big area here.
No. But I-77 gets busy, and the courthouse square can be a traffic nightmare in Jackson County. I know that from personal experience. Now, Steve, you also have some thoughts on education, especially the way we begin the educational process with the little folk. Part of which is an early attempt to start teaching foreign languages. I think that's really forward thinking on your part. Why?
Well, we live in an international world. I mean, nowadays, if you know one language, that's a huge hindrance to you in the international market. And like, I took some Spanish in high school and I took German in college. And let me tell you, if I would have started German when I was 6 or 7, it would have been a lot easier than start when I was 21, 22 years old.
Yeah, even at 21, your brain's gotten a little bit, burned in or stiff, or
Children have a much more limber mind, don't they?
Yeah, they say that, like, that you've got, like, infinite capacity for learning for your first 3 years, and the past the age of 12, every year after that, it just gets more and more difficult to learn things like foreign language. So instead of requiring it at high school, I think that if we moved it up to no earlier than to, you must start a foreign language no later than third grade. I mean, I don't care what the foreign language is, just some sort of introduction. Because, like, if you have a town where there's a lot of Hispanic immigration or Spanish-speaking people, then they might decide that's the language they want to teach. Or if you've got a German ethnic community, they might want to learn German, or so on and so forth.
Sure.
So that's why I want a little bit of flexibility, why I can say we must teach this foreign language. But we've got to get the ball rolling and get it rolling early.
Well, and another topic you touched on, and it's a pet project of mine. I've been I've been proud to be associated with West Virginians for Clean Elections. Your idea of a publicly funded election system, is that something you'd be committed to when you got to the state house?
Yeah, I'll work with anybody who's willing to get clean elections. Because I mean, I'll tell you right now, it's not a fun thing to try to raise money for a campaign, and then there's always these questions, because if you take any money from a group or an individual, then later on every vote that you cast that's in one way or another affected from them is going to be suspect. And some people for good reason, some people can be bought, some people can't be bought. But I think that I remember when Dennis Kucinich came to West Virginia last year, he said something I thought was completely appropriate, because he said we can either have public-funded elections and a government that is run on the public interest, or we can have private-funded elections and have it funded by the private interest. And I'd much rather...
Well, you'd much it creates an atmosphere where the public can once again A, have faith in their government, and B, become participants in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like every day that is, if you got a fundraising thing, that's one less day that you can reach a potential voter and talk
right
to the people in your constituency. And I mean, everybody who's run for office, unless you're independently wealthy, and I'm certainly not that, has to do dialing for dollars. And
yeah,
the sad thing of it is that that's going to
and well, that's the kind of
people out.
That's the kind of race you're going to have to run, at least on the front end here. So you'll file when, Steve?
The filing range, I've already filed the pre-candidate papers, but the official time area to fill for your candidacy is January 9th through the 28th. So I'm allowed to raise money now, but I'm not officially on the ballot. I can't officially get on the ballot until January.
Well, I very much obviously want to see you have success, Steve. How can if there's anybody out there that would like to, you know, help Jackson County have a liberal representative who actually cares about human beings, how can they help you?
Well, they can send me an email at steve4wv@yahoo.com, and I'm also working on a campaign website. I've got the home page right now, and I'm going to add more the next few days. It's www.geocities.yahoo.com/Steve4, again the number, WV/home, HOME. And I'm going to put more information on there over the next few days. And if anybody wants to write me, then I'll find something for them to do. If they're good at, if they've got friends and neighbors who are interested, or we can always use precinct walkers, precinct captains.
Sure.
Willing to call. I mean, I won't turn down any legitimate offer to help.
Right. And you won't turn down a friendly donation either, will you?
No, and if people want to give a donation, they can mail it to the committee to elect Steve Nicholas, Route 1, Box 125, Apartment 2, Ripley, West Virginia, 25271. And
okay.
You're allowed to give cash of up to $50. $50 or more has to be check or money order. Anything more than $250 and above, I need the full name, occupation, and address. I need the
for the Secretary of State purposes.
Yeah,
of course.
I need the full name for everything.
Yeah, I went through a lot of those forms during the last election. And Democrats, you might be surprised to know, Steve, Democrats do have to provide all that information. However, if you're running as a Republican, apparently you don't. Because I found Republican candidate after Republican candidate after Republican candidate who completely just dummied up their Secretary of State forms. Pitiful, isn't
yeah.
it? Well, I'll tell you what, Steve.
I most certainly wouldn't do that because I want people to know exactly what's going on in this campaign.
Absolutely. Do you have, do you know right now whether you're going to have primary opposition?
As of right now, I don't, but, I mean, you never know.
Sure.
I'll know for sure by January 28th.
And just enlighten us, which district?
12th.
The 12th legislative district. Who's the Republican in power at this point?
Mitch Carmichael.
Okay, and I can well imagine you wouldn't have any problem standing up for working folks, would you?
No, I'm the son of a union member, grandson of a union member. If I had a job, if I was in a job area that was a union job area, I'd be a union person because I've seen the difference between life as a union household and life as a non-union household, and it's definitely better than the union.
Without a doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, stay in touch with us, please. And again, you can be reached at steve4wv@yahoo.com. I hope you get some positive responses out of our conversation. And please stay in touch, and we'll try to give you all the help we can.
I'll certainly do that, and thank you for letting me speak to your listeners.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. And anytime, Steve, anytime. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye now. All right, let's roll on through. Wayne's been waiting. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good.
What a great show.
I'll tell you, this is one of those when it's just fun to do.
Oh, God, this is, I don't know, man, you ought to seriously consider staying on the air.
Just roll through and do another hour.
There you go.
You know what, I was thinking.
Hey, you could probably do that.
Yeah,
I could probably do that.
Yeah, I could ask the boss. You know, she's sitting next to me, yeah.
She's a pretty nice person. I think she'd allow you.
Yeah, it's odd you should mention that. You never know when things are going to break during the show. There might be a time when I need to go over an hour, 2 hours, and, you know, it just dawned on me. We can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we got to break away because we got to run the tape delay of Michael Savage or anything.
No, it isn't.
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. Who was the woman talking about Ann Coulter?
That was Lydia Cornell. She's an actress out in Hollywood and an activist. Very smart, very well-credentialed lady. And she's been slimed by Ann Coulter.
Oh, she's not alone.
Well, no, it's getting to be a bigger and bigger club.
Oh, God, what an evil. Where did that Adam's apple come from?
same place those man hands came from, Wayne.
God. Listen, I want to just give you an update. You know, the other night I talked told you that the nurses
yeah.
at Appalachian Hospital were under attack again.
Right.
And they have given their 10-day strike notice.
No kidding.
Yes, they have. And as of 12:01 a.m. on Monday, December 12th, that's when the hospital insists that they start working a new schedule and no longer work their 312s and get paid for 40. So, you know, their union and their members are very strong, and they're all standing together.
Good.
And they're going to need our help.
Absolutely.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, this is a direct, you know, their union has filed unfair labor practices against the hospital because, you know, this is in the middle of a contract. This is in their contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, the only people that are supposed to uphold their end of the contract, I guess, is the workers. You know, the
yes.
corporate entities don't have to follow contracts, I guess, or...
Well, you know, they're above all that foolishness.
Exactly.
Oh, God. So, I hate that. I hate that for the people who have loved ones at ARH.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not the nurses. It's not the nurses. This is not something that they chose to do. This is something they've had forced upon them.
Listen, even though that, you know, the administration of this hospital is in direct violation of the contract. This is in their contract. They work 312, 36 hours, they get paid for 40. That's in their contract. And now, the corporate office is saying, well, that doesn't matter. The Nurses Association, which is the Kentucky and West Virginia Nurses Association, has, even though they're under attack, even though this is an illegal thing, they have offered to resolve the dispute by submitting the matter of scheduling to arbitration.
And the hospital said no.
Nah, break.
Well, that tells you a little bit about where the hospital is on
this. Yeah, it does. And I don't know where...
Anybody check to see when the last time the hospital administrator got a nice juicy raise was?
Well, listen, we're working on that. I want to know everybody's salary, and we're going to find out. And we will make them public. You know, I want to know how much Rocky Massey makes.
Sure.
You know, to trample on these people's rights. That's a contract is a contract.
How do these people sleep at night, Wayne?
I don't have the slightest idea, you know. But I think a lot of it could be blamed on you for starting all this stuff in the beginning.
that's me, troublemaker. Yeah, I was out there by myself. There wasn't some dude in a gray pickup truck with a big sign that said support the nurses there or anything.
Talking to people in Kentucky and stuff, I guess they're really, really upset over what we did out there.
Really?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, like we stood up on, you know, on our hind legs.
Yeah, like human beings.
Yeah, I mean, my God, they think the audacity of these people, you know.
You know, they call radio executives. They threaten to pull advertising money. You know.
Threaten hell.
Oh, God.
They dude it, man.
They dude it.
Hey, who was that? Yeah, who's the guy that said, we going to be rich?
Oh, that was the Michael Scanlon.
Scanlon, yeah.
We's going to be rich.
As he sent everybody an email saying, we's going to jail.
We's going to be convicts. Yeah. Oh, God, you're going to get me in trouble. Oh,
God, we all going to have a roommate named Bubba.
Yeah, that's send your soap on the rope, too.
Yeah.
And don't bend over in the shower, Mike.
Oh, God, let's don't get into that.
Yeah, I know. Next thing, well.
But anyway, you know.
Why do you do this to me?
So I don't. Somebody told me, and I don't know, that this has been announced on Channel 4. What is it? W-A-O-Y?
W-O-A-Y, yeah.
Yeah, O-A-Y.
Yeah, 210 cans and a string TV.
I news earlier today that, you know, that this is happening, that nurses, you know, have given their, and that's in their contract.
Well,
they
I'm
follow
sure,
their contract.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure that somebody will call W-O-A-Y and threaten to pull their advertising for doing that story.
Oh, probably so, yeah, right. You know, I don't
oh,
know
God.
Where, you know, who, what's that, ABC?
Yeah.
That's part of the evil empire.
No, that's true, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're, you know, like I say, we're going to see what happens here. Hopefully.
Well, I hope we get a chance to go out and stand up with them because I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with those ladies. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And they deserve our help and our support.
You know, I will definitely be there. Personally, I hope it doesn't come to that.
I do, too.
You know, I hope that, I think they're working on trying to get an injunction, you know, to stop this, to send it to arbitration and then. You know, both sides agree whatever they come up with, then that will be the thing. But they are prepared to go on strike. And, you know, if that's what they have to do, they'll do it. And I'll support them. And we need a lot of people to support them. You know, this is just trampling on people's rights. and they have a right to join a union. They joined a union. They have a right to negotiate a contract. They negotiated a contract. Now that the contract is negotiated, the hospital wants to break it.
Yeah, they, and they have a right to expect that the contract that they negotiated, that was negotiated at arm's length by either side, will in fact be honored by both sides.
Yes, that's the honorable thing to do. But, you know, as we seem to learn day after day after day, there's only a certain amount of people that have any honor. And these people that are running this hospital have demonstrated they're not honorable people.
Well, it's a pitiful situation. I hope
yes,
it doesn't.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, these are the, and, you know, like I said the other night, these are the people that save lives. These are the people that take care of you. You know, the doctor drops by for 10 seconds so he could send you a bill. But nurses are the ones that take care of you.
Yeah, and they're the, ones who had, I mean, you know, the whole issue started with staffing issues.
Yes.
Questions of you know, patients being, with there being enough staff for patients to receive appropriate care.
Well, and yes, and if you remember in that first thing, you know, I was asked on television, are they understaffed? And I said, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know that for sure, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I know I was out there because I knew their First Amendment rights had been violated.
Right.
You know, and these people started that whole thing with a bunch of lies. The administration filed an unfair labor practice against the Nurses Association.
Got busted.
Which they lost.
Right.
Which they appealed.
And then,
they lost again.
Right. And then the hospital did, in fact, get dinged. I think it was a DHHR investigation that found they were understaffed in the ER, and a person had been left to damn near die in the ER because of the fact that they wouldn't staff enough personnel to take care of every patient.
Well, and listen, you know, a week or so after that, I experienced firsthand their understaffing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no doubt about it. Now, and they, you know, the reason I can say that they have no honor is I saw all their letters. I mean, they said in their complaint to the National Labor Relations Board that the nurses did the demonstration on hospital property.
That was a lie.
That was an out-and-out lie. How, once somebody does that to you, how can you trust anything they say?
Well, you can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
And, you know, you can definitely call them not honorable. So, we'll see what happens.
Well, when you talk to them, tell them to be in touch, would you, Wayne?
Oh, listen, we will be, or they will be. And, you know, these nurses don't belong to our organization, but you know our rule at the ACT Foundation, if you work in West Virginia, we're working for you.
Right.
And we're not going to tolerate, you know, this kind of behavior. I mean, it's ludicrous that they would even try to do something like that.
Well, they just, you know, sometimes people have to, you know, particularly stubborn mules have to be smacked upside the head a couple of times before the little light goes on for them.
And this is, you know, you wonder, like, why would they, you know, why are they doing this? You know, like, is it a question of money or what is it? And I'll tell you what it is. It's union busting.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And it's scheduling that these nurses have become accustomed to. They have arranged their lives around them. They have arranged their schedules around it. And it's frankly, it borders on needless cruelty.